My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland.
On News Talk.
Now imagine a future where losing a tooth just isn't that much of a big deal. Instead of getting the drill or a porcelain crown, instead your body just simply grows a new one. At King's College London, that's exactly what Anna Angelova Volponi is looking at. She's a reader in regenerative dentistry at King's College, and she spent nearly two decades trying to find out how to form real living teeth. You're very welcome to the program, Anna. Maybe you might start off by telling us exactly how teeth form naturally when we are infants.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me. Yes, you're right. That's exactly what is in the core of our research. First of all, to understand how we make teeth as organs when we are developing as humans. So we really look back and we study the nature, first of all. So we study what happens when we are embryos, when we start developing teeth. And we know that there are two different types of cells which are engaging in this process. And those cells need to have the right communication as well. So they really need to start talking, communicating, interacting between themselves. And then they start to commit to do the different tissues within the tooth. So that happens naturally. Trying to do is to mimic, to kind of recreate all of those processes in a lab. And that's exactly what this research is about. So we are really trying to kind of recreate the natural process in lab conditions.
Remind me of the anatomy that we're talking about here. So we have our jawbone, and then sitting on top of our jawbone, what is it that connects us to teeth, and what are teeth compared to that jawbone?
So it's really interesting because, you know, teeth are seen as a simple, but they are actually quite a complex organ, because if you just think, yes, they are kind of like a composition of different mineralized organs. So they're actually covered, that part which you can see, let's say, lurking out of your mouth is actually the part which we call the crown of the tooth. And that is the part which is covered by the hardest substance in our body, which is the enamel. But then they are also anchored within our jaw. And that anchorage is also very important, because between the bone and the root of the teeth, we have almost like kind of an elastic force, like we call it a ligament, which holds the tooth to the bone, but at the same time, it also provides cushioning, so that when we are chewing, when we are talking, we actually have this mechanism of a cushioning and taking on the pressure on our teeth. So they are really complex, if you think, because within that hard shell, we also have the soft shell, which we call a dental pulp, which is really inside, and it is the place where we have different cells, which are capable of a certain repair, and we also have blood vessels and nerves.
Right. So as you say, it's a real complex mix. And when they are grown in an infant child, what grows first? Presumably that they have their jaw first and then the teeth start growing after that. But is it jaw, then gum, then teeth?
So in a sense, everything is really well orchestrated. I mean, we are amazing, you know, creatures, how we actually have everything starting to develop at a certain point. So our teeth, our first milky deciduous teeth, they start developing somewhere around 6th or 8th week of our embryonic. So we are just, imagine, we are just a month and a half in our, you know, life, I would say. And then we start developing the first signs of developing teeth. And that is for our milky teeth. While we also at the same time still growing, let's say, as embryo, still developing around the 20th week, we also start developing our second set of teeth, which are the permanent teeth. So everything is really nicely orchestrated, nicely organized, and it happens at exactly certain point of our development.
If you haven't seen an x-ray of a young child's mouth, I highly recommend you do, because it is something like, it looks like something from a horror film, with the adult teeth pushing up underneath that we don't ordinarily see. Of course, we just see the child's mouth, but underneath they're the child's teeth are these horrific adult teeth waiting to rise. It's a really odd thing to look at, a child who's getting teeth in as a skeleton. So you have all of this, you've got all this going on during infancy, and presumably, like every cell, you need the right environment, the right physics for that cell. You need the right raw materials, and you need the right communication both inside and outside of the cell to ensure the tooth grows the way it's supposed to grow. How on earth do you do that in an artificial way?
Yes. So that's why, you know, very often I say our research really is a complex one, because we look at all the different aspects of the development. So you really need a tripod functioning really well. And that tripod, which I often call it as a tripod, it's the cells. So which types of cells we can actually use in order to make a tooth. Then the communication, and that means all those signals which they're sending to each other and responding to, and that is very much genetic kind of pathways that are involved, the signaling pathways which is going on. And then, as you said, really important, the environment. So all those mechanical forces, an environment we need to recreate in a lab in order to make the cells kind of feel at home, to start communicating and engage in making the organ. In this case, it's the tooth. So the last study that we have published actually looks at how we can use some of the new materials, which is so-called hydrogel-based materials that are coming out as quite tunable. You can change the conditions within so that we can adapt, and we can use that adaptability of the material to harbor the cells and make that environment nice and comfortable for the cells to actually start engaging in developing the tooth primordia, the tooth germ, which will then develop into a fully organ.
Right. And if you have the right environment and the right cells, the tooth is already pre-programmed by the genetics inside of the tooth cell will already know, I need to develop into a tooth. The crazy thing about these cells that they already know what they're destined to be once they have differentiated into a tooth cell, right? So that's fine. But I guess as well as that being incredibly difficult, what about the utility of having a tooth grown in a lab? Because you need a tooth to be anchored to a gum. And if we could just take someone else's tooth and stick it into our gum, then we wouldn't have any need for this, because we could just take, you know, donated teeth from cadavers. But how are we going to get the tooth inside the human mouth?
Anchored biologically. So yes, because basically all those parts, such as, for example, the root and the outside, which we call like a periodontal ligament, to use the, you know, the word, but actually it's the anchor between the bone and the tooth. Again, contributed by those cells which we put in so that they create the tooth germ. So literally, those anchoring parts will be also developed by the cells that we have used in tooth formation.
But you can't put that in a live person's mouth, can you?
So the idea is that we develop up to certain stage, such as, for example, a tooth primordia, which has the potential. It hasn't still developed with the root, for example. It's up to certain stage when the cells are already committed, but they haven't done their job. They haven't produced all the tissues, such as, for example, the root and all those hard mineralized tissues which are making the root, because they're quite different than the crown, for example. So those cells, in a state of a germ, of a primordia, once implanted, they will be contributing to make the root, but the root will be anchored. So implanting it at the stage of a primordium will enable us to develop the root, biological root, which will be anchored within the...
No, you're never going to do that. You're never going to be able to do that.
That is the idea. And we have actually, in 2013... We have actually used human cells with mouse cells, and the human cells were adult gingival, basically gum cells, which you can isolate with a scratch from your mucosa, from your gums. And these cells were the ones that we used together with mouse cells, which were mouse tooth primordium, but we used half of it was actually human cells, and they engaged in creating a tooth primordia, which afterwards we implanted it in vivo in an experimental model of an animal, and it developed fully with the root. That actually gave us, you know, the not only the idea, but some kind of a already tested approach that we can, once the tooth germ has formed up to certain stage, it has the potential to contribute to all the other parts, which are also important for the aspect that you just mentioned. So we just need to, which is really, you know, it sounds really just too, but actually it's quite difficult to find the right cell sources with the right, you know, communication and potential to engage in the process.
You talked about different types of cells that you need to use. Do you not just use a tooth cell or a gum cell, or do you have to use cells from different sources? Why mice cells? Why would you not just use human cells?
Yeah. So basically, you know, when we talk about gum cells, yes, they're very accessible. Tooth cells, we do have stem cells from isolated from, for example, extracted wisdom tooth. But the problem is that these cells do not have the capacity to make a tooth. Otherwise, we would have teeth, you know, all over our gums if that was the case. But actually, what we need and where we are at the moment is that we use the cells which are still embryonic cells making a tooth. So these are kind of a progenitor cells already kind of committed to make a tooth to initiate the process. So in 2013, we used this mouse progenitor cells of a tooth, which kind of gave the first signal to the human gum cells, but the gum cells reacted on it, which was great, you know, to see. And that's how we always use one of those sources, which is kind of like, you know, initiating this conversation between the cells.
Right. And so that's really exciting. But how do you, I mean, in a real human, for example, which is obviously where this is ideally going, how do you maintain that delicate environment to protect the growth of a baby tooth that's growing in a real person's mouth who has to, you know, talk and eat and move around, move their tongue and swallow? How do you protect that environment in a way that doesn't destroy the work that you've done by putting it there in the first place?
So that will be really something to see in future, at what stage we should be implanting in order to develop. And that is probably, you know, the part I wish we can arrive to that part, that that's going to be the only question.
Yeah,
there are many more steps.
But you have many more steps to go to before you get there. Well, it's so ambitious. It's really, really quite an exciting series of work that you're doing. And it's interesting to see you're not just working on the cells, you're working on the environment. So lots of really interesting research going along the way, which I'm sure will help, you know, those who are working with other types of organ regeneration projects would help. But I wanted to finish asking a question that I read about this, and that was to do with the mice cells and the human cells, and the fact that they don't work the same way, even though they're the same type of cell, because each of the cells has a body clock.
Yes.
And mice's body clocks are faster.
Yes.
So I was just really curious for you to explain what is meant by that.
So the mouse cells, I mean, the mouse development as embryonic development goes really much quicker than human. And that is also followed by the tooth development. So we know that we developed it much slower, and we have done studies where we really kind of mapped exactly, you know, how slow is that compared to the how fast is the mouse development. That is why we have used, for example, also the mouse cells to initiate, because they were the ones which were driving also the development of the tooth in a faster way, because they were the ones to initiate the conversation. But nevertheless, if we want to use human cells, then that means that they will follow our human slow biological clock, which, you know, we have. So these are two things which we are looking at as kind of, you know, questions in this journey of, you know, addressing different problems on the way. So one of the things is, can we accelerate the human tooth development by understanding what is the pathway, the genes which are involved? You know, we always go back to the genetics and the molecular biology to use in this. And can we accelerate it? Or if not, how can we actually, you know, use other types of cells which will engage in a quicker way? And also, looking at the mouse cells, what is the part which makes this process quicker in terms of the tooth? Because if you think, we do start developing very early, but we wait until, you know, 6 years old to have the tooth, the first tooth erupted in our mouth. So there are very complex mechanisms that are kind of guiding the tooth development. And that's one of the things that we are also studying in these terms.
Well, that's really, really interesting. And as I say, very, very ambitious work. So I can understand why it's taking some time to figure it out. But from King's College London, Anna Angelova Polvoni, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.